You can't govern your co-op or condo with financial blindfolds on. ACAM Property Management gives you the tools and support needed to track your property's finances. Visit ACAM.com today to learn more.
Welcome to Problem Solved, a conversation about problems that have been solved in New York's co-op and condo buildings. I'm Carol Ott, publisher and editor-in-chief of Habitat Magazine. My guest today is engineer Richard Konigsberg, the founder and president of Konigsberg Engineering, located in New York City. There are countless buildings in New York City that owe their elegance to terracotta. Caring for it, though, has grown more complicated and expensive. It used to be that if your building had damaged terracotta, you could simply repair it. That's not always the case now. So can you tell us why and what the rules are today?
You're subject to a lot of different rules from a lot of different agencies. Anybody that's been involved in a building that's more than six stories knows that Local Law 10, then recently changed to Local Law 11, now they call it FISP, is the primary driver of facade repairs because we're in the ninth cycle now, so it's been going on since 1980. Every 5 years you do an inspection, that's when you find out you need work. And the DOB that reviews those reports could be very tough. At the beginning, they weren't, but as each year goes by and the more accidents, they're much tougher on reviewing those reports. The DOB, you pretty much could file a repair permit for whatever kind of repairs you want to do. But Local Law 11 has changed their attitude over the last few years, and they prefer to see engineers replace damaged terracotta rather than to just repair it in place. And that's been one big change. Then another big change with Landmarks is that they changed their standards to wanting any replacement done with terracotta to be done with real terracotta if it's below the sixth floor. You have exceptions for large things like a water table or a balcony, but aside for isolated replacement of pieces, they want real terracotta.
So if I have terracotta and it has to be replaced and it's just a piece or it's 10 pieces, how does that get measured?
The pieces are generally made from molds. The molds have to be made 10% bigger than the actual piece because after they make the piece in clay, it's put on a drying floor for anywhere from a week to a month to 2 months for all the moisture to get out of it before they could be put in a kiln. That's what makes it so much more complicated than making pieces out of other materials like concrete, which don't shrink. Let's say you have a big lion's head made out of terracotta. If you were going to replicate it with concrete, you could just take a rubber mold of the lion's head, pour the material in, and you got your piece. You never really need to measure it. You never need to do a drawing. But with terracotta, they will always do shop drawings, which are isometric drawings, front view, side views, top view, with measurements. Because all of those things that you're seeing, gargoyles and lions and flower, those all have to be carved out by hand. And they basically have to make a positive mold 10% bigger than the actual piece, then make a mold from that piece.
How expensive is this?
Molds tend to be anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000. Sorry, I jumped ahead. What you need to do is you generally need to ship the piece to them. They can't do this with photographs. So you'll have to survey the building. And if a piece is missing or damaged to the point where it's unrecognizable, you might try to find a similar piece. Like I said, if it's a scroll, you might not have the exact one, but you're going to want to pull a piece out and actually ship to the manufacturer. When we survey a building, we make a set of drawings that identifies every single piece of terracotta. And then we label each one. And I will identify the condition of every piece on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 meaning it must be replaced. It's missing or damaged beyond recognition. 9 would be very severe damage. And then I'll have pieces that are, let's say, rated 6 or 7, which are pieces that are pretty damaged, so I want to replace them, but I don't absolutely have to. So I might be able to pull the piece out, repair it, and reinstall it. And the reason I'll do that is because the molds are such an expensive process.
And when you're doing a FISP project and your building does have terracotta on it, how much additional time do you factor in for the terracotta assessment and then preparation?
So the number that these vendors are going to often throw out to you is they're going to say that they can make a piece of terracotta in 4 months. And that's generally true. They're all a little more backlogged now than usual, but they can make a piece in 4 months. But that's 4 months after they have approved shop drawings. So that could take a long time. After they do these shop drawings, they email them to you, the engineer, and you want to get on the building and verify that it's measured perfectly. And when I say perfectly, I mean you want to be accurate within a 1/16 of an inch. The joints between pieces of terracotta typically is about 1/8 of an inch to 3/16. If your piece is 1/8 of an inch too small, that joint is as big as it should be.
And during this period of time, if you've had a sidewalk shed up because you're doing other facade work, and let's say you finished the other facade work, but you're still waiting for the terracotta, do you keep the sidewalk shed there?
Yes. It's unusual. When the pieces of terracotta are out, it all depends how many pieces you've removed. But typically, if it's scattered, isolated pieces, you have wood shoring in there. And then you might have a period where you're waiting 4, 6, 8 months for the pieces to be delivered. But if you plan properly, if you know that's what you're facing, like we've talked about the Ansonia, where all the top half of it's done, there was a lot of other work to do. And we chemically cleaned the building. We had to scrape and paint all the windows and a ton of cast iron. The terracotta didn't delay us at all. We knew that terracotta is always that weak link and the last thing to get done.
So for your final advice for boards who are looking to do some facade work and they do have terracotta on their buildings, what would you advise them?
I would start by saying I wouldn't consider using anyone that hasn't replaced terracotta on at least a dozen buildings because it requires so much more effort. Let's just look at the flip side. If you're going to replace just a piece of stone in a building like a scroll or a window head, and you're going to do it with cast stone, which is one material, and glass fiber reinforced concrete, there are dozens of people that make this stuff in Brooklyn and the Bronx all over the city. So my advice is, there are dozens of qualified engineers that know how to repair facades in New York. There are not that many that have ordered custom terracotta on dozens of buildings. So if you know you're going to have to do that, and they don't all need it. Every building doesn't need custom replication. If you have 10, 20 damaged pieces, you really want to push to fix those in place or take them out, repair them, and reinstall them. Because that first piece of terracotta is a bear. It could take 2 months just to get a color match going. I've told people, I always tell them, if you've ever made ceramic cups, coffee cups at one of those clay places with your kids, you'll see that the color that you paint on the cup is nothing like it looks like after it goes through a kiln. I've worked on more than 10 buildings that have white terracotta, and the white is different on every single one. So if you have white terracotta, it might take you months and months to get the proper color match. They don't save them from year to year. They seem to start over with every building. So again, that's something you want to know. You want to stay ahead and get your color match quickly. But if you absolutely are going to need to replicate terracotta, you want someone that's done it a lot.
And it sounds like if you've got terracotta, planning is crucial.
And having a good contractor is also key if you don't have the experience to do it. And you're an experienced engineer, and you know everything about repairing the building, and you do it well, but you don't have the experience with terracotta, you're going to get on the building, and you might put a big red X on every piece that you want replicated. Then you're going to have to get bids from contractors, and the contractor is going to pull the piece out. Then they're going to ship it to a fabricator, a vendor, and you've lost a lot of time, and you also didn't get a competitive price. I've seen very few jobs where the engineers actually bid out the terracotta. They could simply bid out the job the way it's normally done to 5, 6, 7 qualified contractors and tell the contractor they have to order the terracotta. If you do that, the contractors are going to really mark that price up a lot. So you might, as the engineer, be able to assess, okay, I've got 500 bad pieces of terracotta. I'm going to bid this job out and I'm going to tell the contractor they're going to have to go ahead and replace 500 pieces of terracotta. The contractor doesn't know what that's going to cost. They're going to say, well, it might be 500 molds. I better ask for $500,000 for fabrication because I don't know how many molds I'm going to need. So if you have engineers that have worked with terracotta a lot, they make that a little bit better by telling you how many molds you need, how many pieces you need. But that's the key. The key is have somebody that's got specific experience ordering real terracotta.
Terrific. Thank you so much. Much appreciate this conversation. Thank you.